John MacArthur considers what just might be the most important factor in your spiritual growth. See what it is and how to put it into practice as we continue John's study called A Practical Path to Spiritual Maturity. It's another 30 minutes of unleashing God's truth one verse at a time on Grace to You.
Christian Teaching and Talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. As we face the issues, let me remind us once again that we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus speaking to his disciples, made this statement: if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. The Bible says, thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117:2, we find a refreshing verse: the truth of the Lord endures forever, the scripture says. And I'm so thankful for that. And I pray that as you face each and every new day, you look forward to joining in the dialogue and discussion. Right after a brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Telephone call goes right through to studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We're talking about today three things that we need to know. Three things that we need to know. Listen, you can look around the globe, you can look across America, and we can talk about hundreds of issues that face people around the globe and face Americans, especially as we face, as Christians and conservatives are faced with different problems and difficulties. Chaos and confusion seems to be the order of the day. But I boiled it down to what I call three things that we need to know that I believe is vital for us to understand and recognize today as we talk about truth. The dialogue that we have on this broadcast points out very clearly, very vividly, some of the things that's happening that as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we ought to be concerned about. But ladies and gentlemen, it was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And if I can be redundant in my statement, I believe that's the truth. I believe it is factual. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a very profound statement. DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. The further we decline from truth, the more we see going into the abyss of chaos, confusion, and frustration across our nation today. I'm looking at a headline that further states that in a little different way. The headline says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And it goes on in part to say this: a significant number of our country's most serious problems have their roots in higher education, and there's no more serious problem than the notion fashionable in academia today and for decades that truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception or cultural mores, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, according to a survey, the latest one, which was about a year ago, said that to most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, their statement is this precisely. Each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one truth. You've heard me say many, many, many times on this broadcast down through the years, a half truth is a whole lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I insert a little parenthetical footnote? That's precisely what Charlie Kirk was doing when he was assassinated, telling the truth. Multitudes across America dissed Charlie Kirk, put him down, disparaged his name, called him a racist, called him a hate monger, etc., 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 because he was standing on truth. And may I say to you, Ezekiel chapter 33, and Ezekiel chapter 3 in particular, 3 and 33, warns us that there's a need for a watchman on the wall to warn of dangers ahead. Dangers ahead. And that's what we attempt to do each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. I believe we need to stand for truth, speak for truth, and be willing to die for the fact of truth, defending truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment leadership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for those looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of brands for the homeowner like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how did I find that? That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. And on the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my prayer that you have had a wonderful, merry, blessed Christmas. It is my prayer that it was a time of joyful celebration with family and with friends and associates and those that are your Christian neighbors, etc., etc., that you had an opportunity to relax and just simply focus on who the Lord Jesus Christ really is and to celebrate Christmas. And now we're entering into, launching into a brand new year. And this new year has things before us that we do not know of today. We perhaps never encountered, but it's my prayer today that as we enter this new year, that you'll focus on the Lord. In fact, go to the third chapter of Joshua, read the first 17 verses, and you'll find what I call the answer to facing a new year. Focusing on the Lord, placing your faith in the Lord, and following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the three things that I challenge you to do for this new year. Ladies and gentlemen, three things that I believe that we need to know today. Perhaps you recall the 2020 election where we were all admonished, challenged by the media, challenged by the loose likes, lost liberal politicians on the left to believe that Joe Biden in his basement, sleepy Joe Biden, sleepy Joe Autopen Biden, that he won the election with 81 million votes in America. We were challenged to believe that, admonished to believe that. If anybody said anything different, you were just an election denier, as we were called. You also recall that President Trump and others in the Trump orbit filed about, I think the number was ultimately, about 70 to 73 lawsuits in courts across the nation. Different states, different cases, all dealing with the fabrication and the falsity of the election of 2020. Challenging the election, challenging what had taken place, 73 suits. But ladies and gentlemen, the integrity of the election was far less than integrity. you'll recall that none, listen to me carefully, I'm setting the stage of where we're going, none of those lawsuits were heard in the courts. I'm going to pause for a moment. Most of our listeners, most of you today, believe that Trump's cases that were filed in the courtrooms, filed in the courthouses, were heard, rejected, and that's what the Democrats, Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party will tell you. They'll tell you that the courts rejected every one of Trump's cases, that Trump was not found to be truthful, etc., etc., etc. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, of the 70 to 73 cases that were filed in the several states where they were filed, not one, zip, zero, nada, one of the cases ever had the light of day in the courtroom. The judges in each of those cases, for the most part, were Obama-picked judges or Biden-picked judges. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, the stand against Trump was visible, very, very, very visible and understood to be a case of political bias in the courtrooms. The judges would say, you don't have standing. You've not been hurt. Therefore, you don't have standing. You don't know that that's the case. The results are not totally finished, etc., etc. The point being, the judges use the term that you don't have standing. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a crock. When you have any court saying that, they're saying, we just simply do not want to hear your case, to say you don't have standing. That's not a legal term. That's not a justifiable term to reject a case in a courtroom saying you don't have standing. But ladies and gentlemen, that was the case. And none of those cases were openly heard for there to be any type of jurisprudence results or response other than just simply a political, you don't have standing in the court. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What we all know, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm bringing it to the point. What we all know is that the election was fraudulent. The election was rife with deceit, lies, and fraudulent. The machines that were used, for the most part, were being manipulated. I know that a lot of folks say, no, those machines were genuine. Those machines were not fraudulent. Those machines could not be manipulated. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply untrue. Listen carefully for an illustration. An illustration of that is, the same software machines that supposedly were genuine and were fraud-proof in America were the same ones that elected Maduro in Venezuela. And yet our nation's political leaders today are saying that Maduro was illegally elected, that he wasn't truthfully elected, he's not the legitimate head of Venezuela. So do the machines work or do they not? Did they work or did they not work? And Trump, listen, because Trump picked up the telephone and called the one in charge of the election process in just one state, the state of Georgia, and told that person, we're looking for just 11,000 votes. Find us 11,000 votes. He was simply saying that somewhere, some way, something has happened, and we know based on the election, pre-election, that we should have won the state of Georgia. Thousands of votes were illegally used, and yet they were not certified. And this is not just off the top of my head. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been proven in the courtroom. I'm looking at the headline, Did Biden Win Georgia? 2020 election results now in doubt after the county, that's Fulton County, Georgia, admits counting up to 315,000 uncertified votes. The article reads, a Fulton County representative did not dispute the claim that hundreds of thousands of votes were not properly certified. Earlier this month, Fulton County made a major admission into ongoing election integrity cases surrounding the 2020 election. Ladies, just 5 years later, the truth is finally coming out. While it won't change anything, the moment may help set the record straight about one of the most questioned elections in United States history. Listen to this. In a December the 9th Georgia State Election Board hearing, a representative for Fulton County admitted that hundreds of thousands of votes were uncertified. The admission came in response to March 2022 challenge brought by local election integrity activist David Cross. Cross alleged that Fulton County violated Georgia statute in handling the advanced voting in the lead-up to the November 2020 election. Specifically, he claimed that the election officials failed to sign off on vote tabulation tapes, a critical step in the certification process. Cross claimed that his group had paid nearly $16,000 in open records requests and received over 77 megabytes of records representing more than 315,000 votes. The activist explained that seeking redress in the case is above partisan politics. This is not partisan. This is statutory. This is the law. When the law demands three signatures on tabulators, tapes, and county fails to do so, those 315,000 votes are by definition uncertified and should not be counted. Ladies and gentlemen, further documents that's found as a result of this recent case in Georgia that's brought about this absolute truth, the absolute fact that we've known had taken place. As a result of that, we find that those 315,000 were those that were mail-in ballots that had not been folded, had never been a non-vote, had never been mailed in. And many of them, if not most of them, had a same look-alike. In fact, it looked as though the vote on the ballot was put in there with when the ballots were printed. In other words, they were printed in prefab votes. 315,000. And all Trump needed to win the state of Georgia was a little over 11,000 votes. Yet he was persecuted, prosecuted, put in, taken to the, drove to the jail in Fulton County where he was booked and photographed, ladies and gentlemen, as a common criminal. And ladies and gentlemen, Fannie Willis, that prosecuted the case and tried to destroy the man's life, the man speaking of Donald J. Trump. Fannie Willis is now in trouble with her lover as a result of spending about, about $750,000, $800,000 for their vacation there, Fannie Willis and her lover, for their travels abroad. And yet now she's the one that's under the spotlight as to what she's done and the prosecution of the case. Finding out that she was collaborating with Joe Biden, she was collaborating with Jack Smith, she was collaborating with those in the DOJ for Joe Biden's directive to persecute, prosecute, try to destroy Donald Trump to prevent him from winning the election. And now all of the charges have been dropped. Look at a portion of this. Trump's triumphs as judge dismisses all recklessness and all reckless charges and racketeering charges over the 2020 election. We're going to keep winning, President Trump said. Ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the major things I want us to talk about today. The telephone number is 904-831-0917. The other things we're going to talk about is the election fraud we're on now. We're talking about the Somalian fraud in a state that is now overrun with Somali, illegal immigrants. Those that are Islamic jihadists. Then we'll talk about the Islamic takeover in America, what we see taking place. Listen, you can play dumb. You can act as though it's not happening. You can pretend that Islam's a group of peaceful people. You can talk about how they make good neighbors. That's all fabricated. That's all phony. That's all fraud. That's all puffed up by the socialist, Marxist, communist media that runs the media in America. I believe we need to understand where we are and what is taking place, because the Bible is very, very clear in Proverbs 29:2. Where the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. John Blood. How are you today?
Good and great. Thank you.
Doing good. Hey, no standing is a premise that's based on legal precedence, and precedence says that in order to try a case or in order to adjudicate on a case, that a previous law, or like Smith versus the United States, whatever it is, that there's some previous court case or law that needs to be reviewed by a court. When they don't have precedence, they default to a standing called, they default to a ruling called no standing. And basically, that is a cop-out for the judge to say,
yes,
yeah, I really don't want this on my bench, and I'm not going to look at it. Is exactly what it is. Nick Shirley, your second point here, in Minnesota has, he uncovered a huge amount of fraud in this community, and the amount of, for lack of a better word, they're bilking the United States taxpayer on social services, including welfare, health care, child care, and other services. I think Nick Shirley uncovered several daycare centers that are government funded that were claiming hundreds of children of these residents that were given political refugee status there with no children present. And it's just a basic follow the money. And Tim Walz today came out and said that Nick Shirley's a racist for doing that instead of addressing the actual issue. That man's got some serious problems in
you know,
this state.
You know, and he's the propped-up funny guy for running with Kamala Harris. He said, I'm a fruitcake. Yeah. I'm a nut. I'm a nutball. He was identifying himself right on, and he didn't realize how absolute he was in his identification of himself. It is amazing that you can find a person that stupid that's the governor of a state. But we can't... How would you say we can't deny the facts? We look back and see what happened with George Floyd and what took place there with the death in Minneapolis. And you find what was the state through the attorney general in the state of Minneapolis, our state of Minnesota, that is an Islamic, that they decided it was best. And I believe the state wrote a check for the death of the man to his family for about $27 million. That set the stage to understand the stupidity and the brilliance, if you please, of the governor of Minnesota. It is a sad, sad thing. I'm looking at the headline. It says, more Somali fraud uncovered. Watch a man try. This had a video along with the article. Watch a man try to enroll his son in bogus daycares subsidized by the federal government. Multiple Washington agencies have confirmed that they're investigating the Somali welfare fraud in Minnesota's immigrant community. Evidence suggests it's already cost taxpayers billions of dollars, and one study confirmed that those monies being directed back to Somalia are likely the largest single funder of the Muslim terror group called Al-Shabaab. Listen, Jim, what are your thoughts when we have a lax government system? Now, listen, we can't say that it's all just because of the governor, but it's evident now, and more evidence is coming out, that he knew about it, turned his back on it, didn't take any action to stop it, and in Minneapolis, Minnesota, several other places in Minnesota, you're finding multitudes of so-called daycares. And the fascinating thing is when this individual goes and looks for a daycare, and he looks around, and there's no children. He asks the question, where are the kids? Where are the children? Well, they're here someplace. Ask some of the workers, well, where's the papers? What can I do to fill out the paperwork to put my child in the daycare? And they basically scream him off, slam the door, won't talk anymore about that. It says he cited a visit to a location that purportedly was providing aid to children through a daycare. He reported this fact. Holy smokes, he said. Nick Shirley is his name, you quoted, confronted more Somali fraudulent daycares in Minnesota. Somalis start yelling at him. The windows are blocked out, blacked out, blocked out. The Somalis don't know where any of the kids are. They each get millions of dollars. I'll pause there, Jim. It's interesting, fascinating, and sad when you read the total articles and the documentation that's been presented about this. But some $9 billion. Not million, some $9 billion have already been discovered that's fraudulently funneled into parts of Minnesota through the Somalis. I hand them one thing, give them credit for one thing. They're sharp when it comes to the deceit and the fraud that they've been able to perpetrate. Now, what should the government do? What should the DOJ with Pam Bondi do? How should this be handled if Tim Walz is not going to do anything about it? And basically shrugged his shoulders and said, so what? What would you say should happen to those cases? Should they be prosecuted? Should anybody go to jail? Should they be removed from America? They're, all of the Somalis, by the way, placed across America by the Obama administration, illegally so, dropped in these cities and states overnight by plane load after plane load. So what should be done? Should the temporary protective status that they have had, should it be lifted, as Trump said he's going to? Should they be deported? Should they be put in prison? What should be the results?
The result should be prosecution. If they're found to be here on political immigration or political protection there, and they're found to be involved in this, it doesn't matter the extent of their involvement. That right there discounts any claim that they have on being a political refugee. Once convicted, serve time for their crimes and then deported from America. The United States, we have a lovely agency that has 100% the ability to collect, and that's called the IRS. Let's get them to do their jobs instead of haranguing their taxpaying citizens. Let's get them to go after where this money went. There's accounts somewhere. This money, you know, yeah, some of it's already been spent, but there's probably a lot sitting around. And anybody that thinks that Al-Shabaab is a peaceful terrorist organization there, I can remember USS Cole having a hole blown in the side of it by these very same individuals. There's a number of oil tankers that pass through the Strait of Hormuz to the Persian Gulf that they have attempted or have at one point or another hijacked. These individuals are commit piracy on the high seas. They commit terrorist acts. They're shooting, they're flying drones against Israel. Basically, they're doing everything they can to follow Muhammad's jihad.
You know, you're exactly right. And one of the things that Americans are asleep at the wheel, and I'll briefly get into this portion of what I want to say. Charlie Kirk, several months before he was assassinated, said something about that I believe should be recognized as the danger. I'm looking at the headline, Charlie Kirk was right, how Islam is destroying the West. How Islam is destroying, it's about a five-page article, and a video that went along with it that's online if somebody wants to find it. But Charlie Kirk made the statement, I watched the video, he said, because we're asleep at the wheel, we're not paying attention to what is happening. We have an open embrace to these people coming in, and he said, they will destroy our nation. Let me just read a paragraph or two. Western nations are collapsing under the weight of mass migration, failed assimilation, demographic upheaval, and the growing alliance between Marxist and Islamic ideology. A threat, Charlie Kirk warned with clarifying long before his death. We don't talk enough about Islam. We don't talk nearly enough about the hundreds of thousands of Muslims that we have voluntarily imported into our country and build mosques and implement Sharia law. You go to Minneapolis, you go to Dallas, you go to New York, and you find it is mesticizing. It will spread. You know why? Because the women of the West, they get cats. The women of Muslims, they have 8 kids. Eventually, it doesn't work out well for the West. And that's what we're witnessing today. And we're witnessing that because the mindset is, well, they're just people like we are. They've got their religion. That's okay because we're not going to have a forced religion on the states according to the Constitution. So therefore, just bring them in. But they do not assimilate. They colonize. And in that colonization, they're building from within our own destruction in the United States of America. Jim, what say you? Am I right or wrong?
Absolutely right. I don't know if you read that article about Brigitte Bardot today, but she's been prosecuted 8 times in France for speaking out against the Muslim invasion. She just passed away yesterday.
Well, that's the norm in all of the UK, all of Europe, that's the norm, and in London in particular. In fact, there's just one person that recently said something openly about Islam. He was a preacher. He was caught, tried, convicted, and sentenced to 4 years just by questioning Islam and the integrity of it. Jim, our time is up for this portion of the broadcast, but thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRD.